All right.
What? Hello, everybody. It's a podcast. I love it when people start the show with a laugh. I love that.
Podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is Matt Maher. Welcome to the Dear Maddie Show.
Dear Maddie Show. There's an echo in here.
There is an echo. And it's called, it's Emily Berry, right? Your last name's Berry, right?
Yes.
I always.
B-E-R-R-Y.
Yes. Okay. Is it, it's not like, was Anna Green Gables, was she Diana Berry with an A or E? Do you
remember? Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, I loved Anna Green Gables.
Faggot!
Anyway, then that is one reason why I have Emily Berry on the show today, because of that laugh.
Because we can scream faggot and I'm going to laugh every time.
It's true.
Yes!
It's true.
I can
say it, y'all can't. No, I'm kidding. How are you?
Things are good.
You are really good. Now, we were just talking. Tell everybody how we know one another.
Maddie and I met at one of those casting director workshops, those contraband casting director workshops, pay for play.
It's very upsetting.
Ooh,
people
you
now.
Talk about a hot topic. Maybe we can touch on that later.
Yeah, we can.
I think we met Peter Pappas, who works in the casting office.
Very sweet man.
Very sweet man. He's so cute. Big Bang Theory? Is that what he... That office.
Yeah, that office. Yeah, he does all that kind of stuff.
Oh, he's lovely.
Yeah, lovely.
You were so funny. You came in and you went to sign in on this little sign-in sheet when you first come in. And you were like, oh, Eric Steffens is here. He's in this workshop. Where is it? He wasn't there yet. And I was like, who is this man screaming? And then Eric Steffens finally got there. And I was like, oh, here's... And then you were not as loud. And I was like, wait.
Eric Steffens is a very handsome man.
He's so cute.
He's so cute. He has a wonderful, he does a personal training. And my favorite thing is when he sits on my back and makes me try to like do push-ups.
Oh.
And I just think of his ass on my back and it spurs me on.
I know.
He's not gay at all. He should be.
Every now and then he would push. I worked out with him for about a year and I have back issues and he would crack my back. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Do the pull back. Oh, God, that was good.
So how did you meet him? Did you meet him through Act Now?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I believe so. I think we had to do a scene together. It's one of those things where I was doing a couple of workshops, and so was he. And so our paths crossed a lot in like a two-week span of time. So we just started chit-chatting, and he said he was a personal trainer. And
I should have him on the show. He'd be great.
He would be great. Eric, are you listening?
People are
talking about you.
I'll tag him on the Facebook. I love to...
Do it.
That with Eric, it's been nice to see like just his progression as a person. He's just because he's one of those guys I feel like that he just is not afraid to try things. I know him because he used to coach voice with my friend Jake.
Oh,
so I'd hear it because Jake and I were roommates, so I'd hear him singing in my house, and of course, I'd be like, who is that guy singing? So handsome, you know, he's really handsome if he's white, and I'm not into white guys, so you know that something's happening, but anyway. Yeah. I love that. Love that. So for everybody, just to give you context, I'm going to say this, a very prolific actress.
Prolific? What does that mean?
Prolific. It means that you're doing it a lot.
Oh.
You're acting.
The public school. What's prolific mean?
You're acting a lot. But no, you really, and we were talking earlier, you've just had a great year.
It's been
I'm proud for you.
Thanks.
Now, because mainly my Aunt Darla would ask this. What was she on, Matthew? I want to know. What did I see her in? So, because I always feel like actors feel like they feel embarrassing. Well, I'm on this and that. But this is your time to actually say for my Aunt Darla Jean.
Okay.
What you were on.
Darla Jean. Hi. You would probably know my face from the Geico commercial. One with the auctioneer where they auctioned off my groceries.
That one's a great one. That's a great commercial.
Ran the piss out of that.
You're at the checkout counter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a great one.
I don't know where I lose my groceries. To the man in the khaki jacket.
Yes.
Indian actor, Rizwan Manji. He's hysterical. He's out of his mind in the best way. He has three kids and never sleeps. So he's just like, what? He's so fun.
I want a Geico ad so bad. I've gone in like three times. Who cast you in? Keep It Real?
That was Ross Lacey.
Ross Lacey. And what else? You've been in so many.
The UHC one, the Dirty Dancing commercial, is what people
will
stop me and say, oh my God, I came in too hot. And I'm like, yeah.
And you're one of my friends. You're With Tom? Yeah, Tom and I know each other very well. Oh, very well. Yeah, we've been friends for a Tom.
He's so cute.
I need to have him on my show too.
He's pretty precious.
You know what I love about Tom? He is one of those people who is like not happy in his life and not a young spring chicken for Hollywood standards, and said, fuck it, I'm just going to try this and go for it. And he is killing it. He is so successful now.
Yeah, he was just in Rome doing some eating.
Yeah, he does that.
They put him on TV eating. I don't know.
Tom McMahon. Is that how you say his last name?
Tom McMahon.
Yeah, I'm friend with like, he's friends with like, I call them the power gays of what's Hollywood.
So, who are they?
My friend David Anderson. He's like, he's not like Bryan Singer. I have house parties with young twinks.
Oh, no. Okay.
He's like a ninth person.
Speaking of contraband.
Yeah, he's like a ninth person. But anyway, that's how I met Tom through that. And he's just, he's a joy.
Yeah.
He's a joy, joy, joy. So, and also you've been on,
the theatrical side.
You're on Superstore, I think. Mm-hmm. I saw. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That, this past, since the new headshots went up, which was a year ago, May, there was Transparent. I'm in season 2 of Transparent.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet.
As a nurse.
Oh.
Which is an amazing experience.
I've heard that set is ridiculous. We're talking about Transparent on Amazon, but yeah. I've heard it's a great set. What was it like?
Yeah. My scene was with Catherine Hahn and, what's his name? Josh. The character's name is Josh. I forget the actor's name.
The brother of the other guy.
Cooper. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Super cute. And they're extremely busy, those two brothers. that's going to bug me now that I can't think of it. If you think of it, just blurt it out because it's going to drive me nuts. I was in the makeup trailer first and I was so excited. I didn't know what to expect because I'd only worked on a couple of other shows before. You never know what you're walking into.
No.
Right? So there's this just like air of like, just be quiet. Just kind of take.
Because it's like you're walking. It's like you're walking into the party at 10 p.m. when the party started at 7. So everybody's like already gotten.
Everybody knows each other. Yeah.
And you're like, hey, I'm late.
Yeah. And Catherine walked in and she was sitting like 2 seats away from me. She was like, oh my God, you're the nurse. You're the tech. You're the thing. Oh my God. Hi. Welcome. Oh, we're so glad to have you. Such a sad scene. Oh, God. It's great. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. And she was just like, no. She was a show and a half. And once we got to set, just like I saw, it's kind of a tough, a scene with some tough news. And I saw the way that they were so connected and they were so dropped in to the story and each other. And I just felt like I was flying with them.
Oh, cool.
When I saw how they do what they do. And I was like, oh my God. Because at first, of course, I was nervous. And she was like, it's fine. You're doing great. You're doing great. Don't worry. Like, made me feel very taken care of. And that's not her job.
No, it's not at all.
She didn't have to do that. I mean, and then at the end of the scene, we were all kind of like tearing up a little bit because it's just has that much meat to it, you know. She was like, that was great. You were so great. Thank you for being here today. I was like, oh my God.
You go home and cry in your car because you're just so happy.
I didn't know that it could be because, you know, like I said, you never know what kind of pressure you're walking into. And I think part of it is because the nature of the show has to do with addressing difficult issues.
Yeah.
You know?
And it won an Emmy, too. So there's that pressure of that you're assuming this show is going to have a standard that's, you know, not going to be. I don't know.
Yeah, it was the day I shot was the day before the Emmy noms came out.
Oh,
so
that's kind of nice.
I think there was might have been a little bit of like excitement and buzz on set because of that. And how like at least half the crew, I think, was trans as well. So you're just like the importance of the message of that show was felt in every piece of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's weird because sometimes in single camera shows, you'll have a table read like, it's out of order. Things are just kind of done out of order. So I shot it. And then a week later, there was a table read. Random. And they had already... That's when the Emmy noms had come out. So there's buzz at the table read was insane.
Oh, wow.
And Jeffrey Tambor came in and he had, you know, Judith Light. And like, I'm sitting across from people whose work I've seen.
Judith Light. Oh.
Yeah.
Come on. I love her.
Such a dear. Like, so cute. And he stood up and he's like, I just want to say something really quickly. I went back and I watched all the episodes because I wanted to see all these nominations. You know, these different performances were recognized in the Emmys for that show. He goes, and I wanted to see everybody else's. I normally don't watch. I do my work and then I go on. I do the next thing. And he's like, I laughed and I cried and I just, and mind you, he's got his nails done and barrettes and his hair and all, mm-hmm. like he's in full Mappa. Uh-huh. Yeah. And he says to the room of people, he said, what you're doing is so different. It's so brave. Don't be scared. Don't be scared to tell this story.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I am so lucky to be sitting here right now and hearing this. He goes, because 20 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do this role. We wouldn't have been able to tell this story.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, so just be proud of yourselves for being so brave to share this with. I know that was kind of a long-winded story to get to.
No, but I loved it. I'm like trying to breathe over here.
Yeah, and it was on Paramount lot. So like there's so many.
Oh, that's my favorite lot.
Right? Because there's so much history there. Yes. Like. I'm coming out of makeup. The light's already burning. Right. I listen to that every time I go to Paramount because I'm like, that's Norma Desmond. That's Norma Desmond. I'm Norma Desmond.
You are Norma Desmond. Oh,
I feel like I should get a turban.
I have some somewhere, actually. I've heard that too. Season two is actually better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
It definitely goes like, it just explores different things. It goes deeper with like, everybody's storylines, and it's based on Jill Soloway's.
Yeah, yeah.
It's based on Jill Soloway's experience.
It's on her dad, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or mom, no.
Sure.
I don't know. I
sure. Mappa.
Mappa. Mm-hmm. Well.
I'm sorry. So we got a little bit of tension. No, but that's an important story to share so that
but
people
this is
know.
Another reason why I have you on the show, because it's not like, oh, you're a funny actor, or, you know, because I do stand-up, too. So we were like, oh, you're a funny comedian. So I'm like, no, because I really, this point of the show is to have humor, but also to have heart. And, like, the things that you post, like, you had a very inspiring Facebook post the other day, and you were talking about kind of, like, all the hours that you put into this. And how, and I relate to that. I think I comment because a lot of people think, oh, you just book commercials. And I'm like, you should see my Google like spreadsheet I have of every single commercial cast director and every single class and how I keep track of it and all of this kind of stuff. Like, it's not just, we just show up.
Yeah. And you got to love it. You got to really love it.
You do. You really have to love it. Like, I love acting, but I actually love, like, on my, that's not a dream board, it's a dream shelf. And one of the pictures up there is the guy from the Dr. Pepper commercial, because one of my dreams is to sing I'm a Pepper on the Dr. Pepper commercial.
Really?
Yes.
I'm a Pepper, she's a Pepper.
If I get that commercial, I might stop doing
it. Barry Manilow.
I won't stop. Is that Barry Manilow?
He wrote that jingle, didn't he?
I bet he did. It sounds like you are gayer than me. I love it.
I know. Do you remember the one where Ray Bolger was dancing?
No. The Dr. Pepper commercial?
With Ray Bolger dancing.
I'm going to Google this.
He's probably like in his 60s. It's soup's cute.
Where did you grow up?
Middle of nowhere, Illinois. Jacksonville, Illinois.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And so were you always like the theater nerd kid?
Oh, I was super weird. I was the weirdest fucking kid. Like, yeah, because I was a chubby kid. And so like, you know, I got picked on for that. And I was like, shit.
Me too.
I gotta work on this because I can't just be the fat kid. I gotta be funny. So like, I mean, I feel like Chonk in Goonies is my spirit character animal thing. because he was the same way. Like he's just, he found his tongue and boy, that's why you have friends. You know, otherwise you're just kind of the fat kid in the corner.
Yeah, because you were smart and you are quick-witted. Like you, I think there's like, you definitely, that was another thing I like about you is that you just... You're not ever mean. You're just like, I'm trying to think.
Oh, I can't be. That's the thing. I try to hide that. But
like, I don't think so. I'm trying to think of like on television of somebody that I think that you remind me of. I can't think of a character you remind me, which is probably why you should be your own. But I mean like it's, but I think you're right. I think like the way he like uses his mouth in the Goonies.
Yeah. He just owns it. He owns what that was. And I think when I finally got to theater school, I went to Millikan in Decatur, and then I was like, oh, I found all the other weirdos.
Oh yeah,
now you know when that. Because in the small town where I was, like, most of the kids were religious. There was a lot of, you know, it's Bible Belt, so there were always like prayer meetings before, or like prayer circles before the musicals and plays and stuff. And I was like, I don't know that these two go together. Like, I mean, I like. I have a relationship with God, but I feel, let's put it this way. I like to go to a church when there's nobody there. So it's just me and God. And I can just like have my time and be like, oh my God.
I am much more like that too, actually.
Yeah. There's like, my connection is my connection. I don't like, mm-hmm. I don't, rules have always been a little bit tricky for me. So the structure of a sermon, sometimes I'm like, oh boy. I don't know if I believe about all of that. Can I just end my relationship? I love people. Try to be nice. Can I just do that? Thanks. Cool. That's amazing. So I forget where we were going with this.
So you went to school at Millikan. Mm-hmm. And then what did you do after that? Did you make the leap out here?
No. I always thought I was going to go to Broadway because I was a musical theater major. And
me too.
I thought for sure I was going to be Broadway, baby. Because I was what, probably like 6 or 7 when Annie was the thing. I mean, was Annie always the thing? I don't know. If you're that age, it might just always be the thing.
No, I think it always.
One little redheaded orphan has sent so many dreams in so many directions.
And I think because we're close to the same age. So every single actress I know, that especially as a female, loves that movie. I never watched Annie because Annie was a girl movie. So it was like, things like She-Ra or Rainbow Bright, I'd have to watch in secret.
Princess of Power.
Yeah, so Annie never came on in secret so I could watch it, or I would have, because at a very young age, I was obsessed with Carol Burnett. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved the Carol Burnett show at like the age of 8, because my mom got me onto that. Yeah. So I would have loved Annie.
Yeah, I had the record, so I wore that out long before the movie. Yeah.
There was a lot of tomorrow going on in your bedroom.
So much tomorrow.
Standing on that bed singing.
Yes. Yes. With my Ricky Schroeder and Menudo pictures all over the walls. I told you I was a weird kid.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, you sound like all my theater friends.
It's funny because my friends back home, like, they see me on, like, especially the UHC commercial with me just dancing and being a freak, like, just being silly. My friends are like, that's you.
And I bet you were I bet you were obsessed with Dirty Dancing, too. I bet when that movie came out, you were like, because that was, again.
Yes, but Grease more so.
Okay.
Because there was more singing and dancing in it. I think I was like 6 when I saw it. I remember I came home and I was like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Well, that was
course
line,
but
whatever.
I'm with you.
But, you know, I danced. My mother was like, oh.
Oh, this
boy.
Is my
I remember the look. I'll never forget the look on her face. Because I threw myself on every piece of furniture.
You can't see this right now, but she's like jazz hand fanning. Yeah. Out.
Like little Edie.
Yes. I actually, it's still recorded on my TiVo. I haven't seen the Grease live. I heard it was really, really good.
I haven't seen it yet either. I recorded it, have not yet watched
all
it.
All my musical theater friends said it's the best one.
Yeah.
Like production value, so I gotta watch that.
I think
shit.
I'm still kind of a musical theater bitch. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm a little bit skeptical.
No, I get it. Like, I didn't see Second Annie. I don't want to see New Annie.
Oh no, I didn't see
Will
that
Smith.
Either.
Nobody else saw it either. Apparently,
I've seen it on stage so many times. I'm like, that's Annie to me. Just quit making the movie.
I don't want to see Cameron Diaz do that.
No.
I just did see the last production at the Pantages, but then I felt bad because I didn't know. All my friends shamed me because I didn't know it was a non-union show.
Which one?
The latest Annie at Pantages was non-union. I wouldn't have seen it. I had no idea. It was a good show still, but I felt like shit.
My God, we're such queers. It was a non-union Annie show.
I know. I was a little bit like all my like, because I'm not as connected to theater because I do just more television and comedy stuff. So yeah. Like,
that's but, where the money know, is.
Exactly. And so exactly.
Sorry, New York.
Sorry. But yeah, but all my theater friends, especially here, you know, there's like my friend Jake is really, he's a musical director, and so he's very in that because there is a very small yet strong musical theater community in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Very. And so anyway, they were really, yeah, really upset by that.
Do you know Katie Von Till? She's got
no,
a great voice.
That sounds...
Does
she
so
do
random.
Stuff at Rockwell?
I don't. I know she knows Tom. I think she's friends with Tom, and that's why I wondered if you knew, because Tom's got a great voice too. So I didn't.
And I've never heard him sing, because when he was at, what was it, South Coast Rep doing the show, I wanted to go see him.
See Damn Yankees?
Mm-hmm.
I went to see Damn Yankees. That was out in Thousand Oaks. He was
Oh yeah.
Precious.
That I think I'm going to see a performance of The Boy from Oz at Thousand Oaks in like a month in June. Because they're in the middle of Thousand Oaks, and so they have all this fucking money to do these great productions of shows.
Yeah, it's a huge...
It's huge.
You're like, oh, it's great. You get to, money?
I feel like I'm back home because I get to go eat at Outback Steakhouse.
Mm-hmm. Or P.F. Chang's.
Yeah, we don't get that in L.A.
Pick your favorite chain. They got it out there.
They got it out there.
And free parking. Like, there's so much room out there.
There's... I love it. Parking under the sky.
A Thousand Oaks.
It is pretty. There's a lot of trees. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of trees. We only have two questions, so it's fine that we're talking. I was going to ask you something else. I don't remember. Well, I kind of asked this before. Sorry. I'm clearing my throat. You're mad at show. So, but, you know, I like, what do you feel like being an actor and being an actor that we, you know, we kind of live in this profession where we're always, you know, it's not fully in our control unless someone approves us or some, you know, somebody hires. But also too, like with having success, like I was just talking with my boyfriend about how, like, you know, as soon as I book a commercial, the next day I'm honestly thinking about the next, even the day of, I'm thinking about the next commercial and I'm kind of on to the next thing. Oh. And so not in a bad way, but I mean, for me, that's what keeps me from not like, kind of not feeling like I'm just like, I don't know. There's like this Southern thing in me. It's not like, I know there's so many other people trying to do what I want to do and so many people that want to, like, it made me feel so good. I did a McDonald's spot earlier this year. And like a year ago, I did a Hotels.com spot. I love that spot, by the way.
And that was so hysterical.
It was a great spot. I think it's like that Dirty Dancing spot. It's a great, like, very memorable spot. I think that for me was, I don't know how you felt for you, but after I did that commercial, I felt like I was going to different types of auditions and seeing people. Now I see people on my TV and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But that said, this actually made me feel great that when I did this McDonald's commercial, they kind of have this guy who's like their spokesman who's going to be doing like these. He's like the McFlavor coffee guy. Mm. And so he got this gig and he said, how do I know you? And we're talking and realized he was at the callback for the hotels.com. And so it made me feel so good. Because you, like, what were you going to say? I saw your face.
No, I remembered something. Continue on.
No, it just made me feel so good in that, like, I think I do that because I don't want to settle. And because I know that I'm just trying to do what thousands of other people are doing. And so how do you, like, you know, how do you kind of keep perspective on all that? Because you've been pretty successful. So, you know, how do you perspective on that and not either let it go to your head or not still feel like it's not enough, which I think a lot of actors do.
And if you break it down in the simplest way of looking at it, we're independent contractors. So like if my business was painting houses, you're always going to be worried about getting the next gig because you have to keep working to pay for school for your kids and put food on the table. So I think it's completely natural to worry about the next job, but the commercial, we've got a good contract coming, but the money is not what it used to be because of extended cable and internet. So we do have to worry about the next job. It's not like you can book one commercial and make 50 grand.
It's not like it is in 1984.
No, the business has changed a lot. The business of commerce. And I mean, obviously with Netflix and Hulu and all that, you know, things are changing. So we do have to look at it as a different way. You can't stop hustling.
No.
But I think another thing, I'm trying to think if this necessarily applies to the question per se, but there are times where like there's jobs or spots that stuff that I really, really want. And my husband and I, generally speaking, he's like, you got 24 hours to feel bad about it not happening, and then you're done. He goes,
oh my God.
Cry, scream, laugh, whatever you need to do.
That's what I say to myself. I give myself a day.
Yeah, and I put the I have a timer. I'm like, okay, from the time that I get the information, I got 24 hours to process that disappointment, and then move on. Hi.
Oh, boyfriend's in the middle of the show.
Boyfriend's coming in the room.
Uh-oh, boyfriend's in the room. We're still live on the air.
Record us, interrupt
Hello.
Us.
Isn't he not pretty?
I know, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Get that pretty out of here.
I know.
Do you ever try to smack the pretty off his face?
I try to smack something, but it's not that face. But We were such we were in such a beautiful team. But no, I love that. I've even used that as an advice just for clients, not even about acting, of just like, it's such a detriment to us personally when we, and to our souls, when we try to avoid feelings. But then but then also there's a flip side of wallowing in it. So give yourself the time that you feel like you need, but make it a reasonable.
Honor the disappointment.
Yes.
You must.
And I think that goes, I mean, I really feel like that's, except for like grief of death, do your thing. But, but you know, even like you don't get a job, you don't get a promotion, you don't, your sports team doesn't win, whatever, like. Don't carry that on for weeks.
No. Other stuff's going on. There's something else coming. There's always something else coming. The two things that I thought of something else while you were talking.
Say it.
So we gotta go real quickly. The lovely man that you worked with on the Tide spot.
Oh, yeah.
Tide spot out spot. Uh-huh. What was it called? Tide stick. Okay. Uh-huh. Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a commercial with him. A Toyota commercial with him at the end of the year. And I do this bear hug.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had to pick him up and be like, I realized that you worked with him.
Carl's
I was so excited that I knew both of the men in the gay Tide stick commercial.
I was nervous at commercial because he's like done a lot and like he's a legit actor. And then I didn't know Lynn Stewart was going to be the woman. I mean, and like she was like one of the first groundlings. I mean, yeah, she was in Pee Wee's Playhouse.
What
I mean,
a great day. Was she? Who was she?
She was the kind of like the one with the big
Dolly?
Hair, with like the boobs, and she was kind of like
yes,
that was her.
What was her name?
Pee Wee's second
Dot.
Woman.
On, I don't know.
I'm blanking too, but it was just. It was so, and you know, this was a spec commercial, so we're not getting paid any money to do it. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people, the director did such a good job. It was a spec commercial, not a real commercial.
There I was thinking it was a real commercial.
I know. For people who are wondering what a spec commercial is, that's a commercial that a director will make that's a, quote, fake commercial of a real product just to shop around so companies will hire him or her to do their commercial. So anyway, I just did this for, so we're not like making any money or really or anything. We're just kind of doing this for favors for friends of friends. But it reminded me of like, find the joy in what you do. Because if you just find the joy and want to learn from other people, because it was like a fucking masterclass just watching Lynn Stewart work.
Yeah. Well, also, when you think about what that commercial means, getting a little deep again.
Yeah.
But like, hadn't marriage just like recently been approved?
We filmed it in June and then the court made its decision, I think like in we filmed it like in May and the court made its decision in like late June. We filmed it the 1st of June. The court made its decision and then Kim Davis came. Yeah. Miss Davis, if you're nasty.
Mm-hmm. She was.
Ooh, girl. And
get a comb.
That came.
Hair, girl. Get a comb.
I know.
Don't you judge. I know. Don't walk in here judging just other get people some when you walked out the house like that.
But that she, like, her big thing came out in August. And the director, we filmed it in June, but he, by the time it was edited and everything, he didn't release the commercial until August. It just happened when he released it. We filmed this before we even knew about Kim Davis.
Wow.
Because a lot of people think, you know, with Lynn Stewart being like a church lady, that was all about her.
No, it happened that way.
It just one of those reminders that God is a bitchy queen that I love. Like, she was just like, hey, watch this. Bye, Felicia.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it just, Carl was great. What was the other thing you were going to say?
I think it was like processing disappointments and or success and disappointments both.
Yeah.
And my husband's great. He'll be like, if you don't get it, what changes? Nothing. Mm. Nothing changes. I'm here. The dogs are here. The house is here. You've still got leftover pizza. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Everything is going to be fine. We're fine. Okay? And I'm like, okay. But he's so right. It's like, okay, you can't. when you walk in the room with needs and expectations, whether it's financial or approval or da, 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 like, oh, I feel like casting can smell that a mile away.
Oh, for sure.
So like, you got to just like walk in that room with no needs unless the character has needs, you know, unless it's true to the writing and the character's point of view, then it's your feelings about needing to book the job don't serve you.
Yeah, so. I think, yeah. I mean, put a stake in it. Mm. We're done. Okay, let's go on to some questions.
Okay.
All right. See, this is why I had you on. I'm so glad. All right. This is from Clint, age 32. This is a random question, but I like it. I answer anything. All right. Dear Maddie. Okay. So I have a theory. I have four couple friends, and one of them is a gay couple. The other are straight. Mm. And they all look like one another. Really. We are all mutual friends, and recently at a party, I brought it up, and the gay couple admitted that they dressed alike, but the straight couple denied it. But Maddie, that's a thing, right? Couples end up looking like one another, or am I crazy? Sorry, this isn't a real advice question, but I gotta know. You're welcome, Clint. Do you feel like couples end up looking alike?
They can, every now and then.
Do you look like your husband at all? Like, do y'all?
We're a little like, we're both round. And but he's blonde hair and blue eyed, but we look like a Midwest couple. Like, it makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So people are like, oh yeah, I can see it. But I don't know that we necessarily like dress alike. I don't know. I feel like people look like their dogs more often than they look like each other.
I think that happens a lot too. Do you look like your dogs?
No, she has my personality. The younger one definitely has. She's like a greeter at the Gap. The second you're in the door, she's like, hi, 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 hi. Oh my God, you're here.
Like, please tell me you were a greeter at the Gap.
I wasn't. I
worked at the
been.
Gap for like 4 years.
I think I was, no, there wasn't a Gap close to where I lived. It was too far away for that.
Okay,
to be a
best job you ever had besides acting, worst job.
Worst job. I worked for like a week at a small hotel back home. During hunting season.
That's hilarious.
I don't even know how to describe.
That's so trashy. I relate to that.
I just remember there
we
was
gotta control those deer.
Oh boy, there was a lot of mud and stuff to clean up in the hotel. God. Most people are like, oh my God, hotels would be gross. I'm like, you don't know the half of it. I don't even know what they were cleaning. I don't know. There was rifle grease. I don't know. Lasted about a week. I was like, I'm 16. This is not what I wanted. The best job I ever had.
Or most fun, maybe most
probably
fun.
Bartending. I bartended at Universal City Walk for about 8 years, and that was fun. I didn't necessarily like the clientele was all over the map. Like, I had bottles thrown at me and stuff, just because people when they drink they get crazy. You know what I mean? So it can be a little.
In Universal City,
crazy.
I think it attracts tourists, it attracts locals, it attracts just everybody.
Everybody. Oh, it's like a Golden Corral.
Now it's like, going to be like geeks since they got Harry Potter World.
Right. I know.
Oh, I can't wait.
The people I worked with there were just, they were all ridiculous. I feel like they were all like the circus rejects like me. So we were like, da 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 da. So even if it was a crap shit shift with terrible people and terrible tips, we made the most of it and made fun of each other and drank on the job. Sorry, Misty and Rick, but we did. We drank on the job. We held it a safety meeting. and I don't feel very safe right now. We should probably have a Washington apple shot right now. So that was definitely my most fun job.
That is a fun job. What was the question?
Oh, do people look like each other?
I think my boyfriend and I, we don't look like each other. Because every time I picture, I'm like, damn. But we do, like, I noticed he was really getting into plaid shirts, and I was getting into plaid shirts, and I was kind of, and I actually told him, I said, one of us need to make a choice.
Yeah.
Who's going to wear the plaid shirts? Because it just, I didn't want to be, but gay couples for sure, they're matchy-matchy bad. Or good, whatever you see.
Yeah, I mean, what's not to like about a plaid shirt? So, but yeah, I'm like, oh, we don't want to make too big of a statement when you want.
I'm with you though. I feel like more people look like their dog than their couples. Mm. That's me. That's our opinion, Clint.
I saw a woman walking a French bulldog today, and I thought, oh, she was kind of shaped like a fire hydrant herself. So I was like, oh, there it is.
There it is. There it is.
Wait, quick question. Carol Burnett, that's a Brady Matthews original, isn't it?
Wait, do you know Brady Matthews?
I do.
How do you know Brady Matthews? He is so hot.
Oh, my God.
Jesus, that man. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah,
I broke the mold with that one.
Boy, they did. How do you know Brady?
So cute. We were in acting class together at John Rosenfeld Studios a few years ago, like 4 years ago.
Is he a good actor? I've seen him only do stand-ups. I feel like he's probably, I mean, I feel like, I don't know why, he's talented, I think.
Yeah, I remember him being good. Yeah.
His stand-up is great. I remember.
Yes. Like, oh, his Mark Wahlberg sends me over the edge.
I know. His stand-up is so good. And I remember, like, when I went to Leslie Kahn, she's like, oh, who's seen you? I was like, oh, my friend Brady told me, and my friend Jill Alexander. I'm sure you know Jill.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, Brady, good actor. And, like, he's just... He is. I love him so much. We're very close. The first painting he did for me actually was Bill Cosby. Oh. I'll show you before you leave. It's beautiful. It's sitting right there. It's just turned around.
Yeah.
I literally.
Shame.
Yeah. I got this.
Shame.
Painting. Oh, yeah. I got the painting, and like 3 months later, it became rape painting. Like, it's just. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't even be laughing. It's just so awkward for all of us.
It's so
you
awful.
You either laugh or cry or throw something.
No, it's,
like, we all
it's
have...
fine to laugh at it. It's, but yeah, it just. But I can't get rid of it because it's the first piece of art I ever bought, and Brady did it, and like, I gotta figure it out.
There's so much to say.
But yeah, I actually did a set once where Brady Matthews did his own set, and then I went up like two people after him, and I threw out all my set and just talked about how much I want to suck his dick and where I would suck his dick, and he was just going, and it was his birthday that night, so then I sang happy birthday to him, like Marilyn Monroe, and I sang it totally legit, like, happy birthday, and then I was like, I'd let you finger bang me in the back of the car, and he's going, he was recording it, but then when I started to get dirty, he just was pressing his phone going, no. Anyway.
Brady, we'll need to tag him.
Yeah. I just, there's people I love out here and then people that have a piece of my heart. And he does, because he's so sweet.
Yeah.
He's so sweet. He's a sweet dick. He can kind of be a
dick.
Oh,
yes.
But he's still sweet about
it. But he knows how to use that dick part of
it. Yeah. Boy.
In just the right way. Well, sometimes when hot people are mad, it's hotter. It somehow gets hot. You're like, oh, it's so mad.
Oh, it's so hot.
He's so hot when he gets mad.
He's like, I remember once I was.
Strike me,
yeah. Well, I was supposed to meet him for something. He was like, I'm going to be a little late. I'm not feeling well, so I'm going to go on a run. I'm like, and that's why you look like what?
When I don't feel well, I call Domino's.
I know. I'm like, I need pizza and a Game of Thrones marathon. And then that's it.
Oh, no. Yes, people look like their pets.
Yeah. Yeah, Quinn.
And Brady Matthews is hot. Bye.
Yeah, stick it in. Okay, so. Sorry. All right. This next question is for Jennifer, age 29.
Hi, Jennifer.
Jennifer says, Dear Maddie, my younger sister is destroying my family. She won't admit, but she's an alcoholic. She is about to lose her job for not being able to show up. And worst of all, my mom is obsessed with trying to help her. But Maddie, it's no good. My sister loves her vodka before anything else. I've tried to explain this to my mom. My mom thinks she needs a less stressful job. Maddie, she works at a fucking grocery store bagging groceries and checking people out. That's not that stressful. It could be. I'm seriously don't know what to do, and I can't stand to talk to either of them. And my dad, my parents are still married, keeps telling me it will work out and not to get too upset about it. I guess we're the typical WASP family, but I'm over it. A part of me just wants to walk away from my family, but it's my family. What do you think? Jennifer, 29. I know, we brought it down.
We did, we brought it down. First of all, Jennifer, I'm sorry that this is happening. What a pain in the ass. Let's just be honest. Real talk.
Truth talk, that's what we say.
She's a fucking pain in the ass. And addiction is a pain in the ass.
It is a pain in the ass.
I haven't had a ton of experience with it, but I had a few friends that have on all sides of it, whether it's, you know, a friend or whatever. I got a friend in rehab right now. And... My advice to Jennifer is to either get in therapy or maybe Al-Anon.
I was going to say Al-Anon for sure.
Yeah. Just because you can't, there's so many things you can't control.
Yeah.
And realizing what you do have control of is yourself and how sometimes you just got to, you got to do what you got to do for you.
Yeah. And
I feel like that's.
Exactly. It almost sounds like, too, it sounds like she's over, she's, it's almost like, I mean, yes, it sounds, Jennifer, like you are upset at your sister, and for sure, but it almost sounds like maybe you're not, it sounds like you're frustrated, but I'm imagining that you're probably pretty angry at your mother, too, because it sounds like your mom, bless her heart, I mean, my mom probably would do the same, is trying to do everything she can to save her child, but the same, sorry, burped again. That's why I think Al-Anon would be great. It's a La Croix. That's why I think Al-Anon would be, I'm pointing at my Al-Anon book over here, because I went to Al-Anon several, just with my own codependency issues and own like friends struggling with addiction, and it was super, super helpful. And what Al-Anon is, we've talked about it on the show before, Jennifer, if you've listened. If not, though, it's, you know, it's meant, though, it's for friends and family of people struggling with a type of addiction. It's for the friends and family, not the person that is struggling with the addiction. But usually they talk about a lot, like, let's say if, you know, if your sister, if Jennifer, your sister's name is Susan, and Susan is struggling with alcoholism, and with Al-Anon, people say, oh, Al-Anon's where you don't focus on Susan. It almost sounds like from this email, though, she's more focused on her mom. Like, she's trying to get her mom to break away from this. And that's not your battle either, Jennifer.
No, that's why I said you can't control.
You can't.
Got to take back the power of what you can do for you.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounded like I fell asleep there for a second. That's not what that meant. It's not an easy decision. I was taking a heavy sigh, inhale, the same time, because it's not an easy road to go down to like be that honest with yourself about having what you have to do to protect yourself.
And it feels like you're telling people you don't love them, you don't care about them, you don't want to be there for them, you don't want to be a part of their lives. It's not that. It's just you saying, Jennifer, and again, I would, if you haven't done that, like you said, Emily, definitely go to Al-Anon to get support on how to do this. But for sure, you just need to, the only thing you can control, sweetheart, is to make your life you want it to be, and hopefully find happiness or contentment. You can't control your mom's life, your sister's life, your dad's life. You can't.
Yeah, and by finding a community of other people who understand what you're going through, it makes you feel a lot less alone in dealing with the problem, because you just feel kind of powerless over not only your sister but the family as well, and how they're reacting to it. So to hear other people's stories about how they have dealt with that frustration and found happiness and gone on to, you know, make friends. And sometimes you have to, especially in Los Angeles, like if you're a person who's moved to a big city from a small town, you have to make your own friends anyway. You have to create your new family.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there was a time in my life where I went to both AA and I went to Al-Anon, and turns out I was just depressed, but I just needed some Zoloft. But the community of people that is there to just listen and offer some advice based on what their experience has been is really, really wonderful.
And wherever you are, Jennifer, whether it's Timbuktu or a big city, like there is an Allen, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
There's one, I guarantee, within 30 minutes of you, unless you live like on a rocky mountain,
which I hope you don't.
Hope you don't. That would suck. I don't know why I said a rocky mountain. There's only one.
As opposed to a forest covered mountain. That's because she's struggling. You said rocky. So it feels like we had to say that.
I think you do, though, see that, like, because we're artists, because we live, I see a lot of actors that are 1,000,000% functioning alcoholics that are just kind of like, that are just, again, coping with a lot of pain of whatever they either, I think LA is such a, it's a different type of place, because people either, I feel like people, they move here for two reasons. The one, they're either running to something or they're running from something. Luckily, mine was a little bit of both, honestly. Mm-hmm. I was running from, it was really difficult to be gay in Texas, and I just came out.
Where are you from in Texas?
I'm from Oklahoma. I'm from Southern Oklahoma, but I went to school at North Texas. So I guess I came out there. And so it was okay, because I went to a music school, and then I switched to I was studying opera, but I kind of like you, I was like, I have friends here, but then I switched to the musical theater department, and that's where I felt like home, but then it was going to take me too long to get that
degree. The kooks in the musical theater.
It's true. It was wonderful. And so then, But then I thought I was going to go to Chicago and then New York to do musical theater. And then I did like a kind of fell into this like contest thing where I won this thing. Like, and so I was doing hosting stuff because I was a big Shania Twain fan. And I did like a hosting thing. And I was like, oh, that's what I want to do is hosting. So that's really what I've always wanted to do is talk show stuff.
Oh, fun.
So that's what made me move to LA. But still, I moved out here and didn't do anything for years. But the whole point of that was I was running to chase a dream, but also to just feel like, I don't know, there's a part of me that knew I wouldn't be able to, I want to be very open with who I am, and I want to be able to walk down the street, and here in LA, I could do that and like hold my boyfriend's hand on most streets, not all, but you know, stuff like that. And I knew that wasn't going to happen in Texas.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you feel like you were running from or running to?
I think, yeah, small town. So like, you know, people are very judgmental. The bored. I gossip.
PTA.
And I went to school for musical theater. Then I went to Chicago for a couple of years because I thought, like I said, I thought I was going to be Broadway bound. And then realized when I was auditioning in Chicago, that's not what my voice was cut out for. So I don't have a Broadway voice. I've got like a cabaret, fun, more like a Bette Midler voice, not a Broadway legit thing.
I want to go see her in Hello, Dolly Sober. Sorry.
It's the Bette Midler train pulling out of the station. That's
my favorite gypsy still. She's my favorite Mama Rose.
Oh, God bless.
I think Barbara Streisand's doing that film. That's what I heard. She's doing Gypsy.
Is that what I want to say? I read that the other day, too.
I think she is, remember. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, GDD.
Oh, so yeah, so I did a couple of commercials in Chicago. I got my SAG card. I was like, maybe I'm funnier than I am a singer. I guess I'll move to LA, and then another 20 years later, I'm working. Cause
have you done a lot of improv? Like, did you study a lot of improv schools?
I studied, but I'm not great at it. Like, I'm good at it within the structure of like it needs to start here and end up here. Cool, but I'm not good at like going on stage and like building something out of nothing for us.
That is
too much pressure.
Thank you for saying that because I am that. I like did Groundlings just because I really honestly
because everybody said you should.
No, yes, a lot of people because I've already done the whole program at IO.
I did too,
and I performed at UCB a couple of times, so it's on my resume, which is really all kind of you want. But I was like, no, I want to do the Groundlings because I just kind of want to do it for fun, and I sucked at it. Like trying to improv is like another character. Because I'm just like good at doing commercials and being myself. Yeah, I sucked, but I agree with you. If I know where we need to end up. I know I need to deliver this line to sell this freaking can of cheese, then I can get there.
But especially because it's got to happen in commercial auditions, it's got to happen in like 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah. Bam. Do that. I hope we get to do a commercial together.
I know. Can you imagine?
Oh my God. Please. Please.
Hat. No hat.
Did you enjoy that movie? Have you seen the course? Oh, by the way, Jennifer, I think we're done. That sounded bad. Jennifer, I think like we were pretty clear. So
yes,
let me know. Send me an email. Now we're going to talk about gay stuff. A chorus line. So, because my friend Allie and I, Dear Maddie Show episode 2, we watched, have you ever like, you watch a movie or you see something and you love it so much, it ends and you just want more of it? Mm-hmm. So even though we'd seen it in theater, we were just kind of bored one night. And this is when we went to Blockbuster on Larchmont. So when I used to live over
in Korea. I remember that.
So we went to Blockbuster and we had rented Chicago, the movie, and which is such a fucking...
So good.
It's such a great movie. So we watched that movie and we were like, ugh, we're not done. We need more of this. And we had never seen the movie of A Chorus Line. And we're like, we love the show. This has to be great. And we didn't even finish the movie.
It's odd.
It's so not good.
When did they make this? Early 80s?
Maybe. Rob Marshall needs to remake that. Please. Please, Rob Marshall. Please. He'll do anything. Oh.
With a little bit of Adam Shankman.
Oh, you know what? I'm actually friends with Adam Shankman. Not like the celebrity. Like, you know how sometimes there are celebrities and you realize that you're friends with a lot of the same people. So you're kind of like, if I friend them, will they be like, oh, they're in my friend circle and not just fanning me?
Yeah.
And so I friended him and he friended me back. So like, I know details of like his real life, which are pretty much it. But also too, I went up to him because I do love the movie Hairspray. I love it.
Yes.
It's so good. And I came up to him. What is that restaurant? Is it Hugo's in West Hollywood?
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting there and I really don't star fuck people because I really want them to just, A, I'm not really that. I'm like, okay, great. That's good. You're working at, I'm trying to work too. Like, great.
Yeah. But we to keep it.
Yeah. And, but I saw him and I just had to go up to him and I just said, I'm sorry to interrupt your breakfast, but I just have to say, like, just the moments of joy you have actually brought into my life of no, of being like in a situation where I don't feel great. And I watch something you created and I actually feel more joyful in my life. I just want to thank you for that. He totally got teary and almost started crying.
Oh.
He was like, thank you so much. And then his friend who was this queen said, what about me? Do I bring joy? And we laughed.
It was fine. You just did. Thank you.
So one day I'll have Adam Shankman on
the show. I met Adam Shankman a long time ago. I used to work at, I called it the Big Gay Gym, Easton Gym on Beverly. I worked there like 17 years ago.
That's hilarious.
Folding towels at the
That's amazing.
Adam was like, you are so funny. Here, take down my number. And I wrote it because I had a pager back then. I didn't have a cell phone. Like, that's how long ago this was. And I have an old planner that has Adam Shankman's home phone number in it.
That's...
And I never called him. That's just, like, can we talk about how funny that is?
That's, well, you could...
Years later, he used it. Airs me. Like,
so you could friend him on Facebook because we're friends. Yeah. Maybe he'll be like, oh, well, we have a mutual friend, so we know one another.
But he was so sweet and fun. Like, we would dance at the gym because he used to work out so later on at night. So we were like...
Is Easton gay? Is Easton Gym really that gay? I've never been by it. I'm like, is it even a big
well,
gym?
Well, it certainly was in 97.
Is it like... It's got to be... Is it... It looks like frou-frou, super expensive gym.
I don't remember. It was so long ago. But it was one of the oldest gyms in LA. Like, Jack LaLanne used to work out there. And,
who? Know,
Jack LaLanne.
Oh, yeah.
Is that his name?
Uh-huh. I think, yeah.
The guy does the juicing now.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot, you know, the stars of yesteryear, there are a lot of pictures of them.
Wow.
And, yeah. So it's kind of a cool, and it's been there. It's an older building. It's been, you just, you know, you can kind of feel the age of the building. Kind of
I
like
love
how we,
it.
When
I
we go to Paramount.
I love LA.
I know. There's so much interesting history here.
I do. I really... People are like, where else would you, or where are you going to end up living? And I'm like, I mean, I'm going to travel and live other, like, but I really like it here.
Oh, I can't beat the weather either.
It's great,
it's
great.
Pretty.
I even like the city part. I do. I don't mind it.
Well, we moved back to St. Louis for a couple of years after the writer's strike. My husband and I moved back to St. Louis and we had gotten so used to the diversity and so used to so many different places, so many different options for entertainment and culture and dining and things like that. And we were like, oh my stars. Like St. Louis isn't a bad place.
No, it's just very...
But after living in such a big cultural hub and being just so used to things, to any, you know,
like you go
color,
see,
shape, size of people, like you just...
I love that my friend's doing a play at some 99 seat theater. I can go see theater. I love that. I love that. And also I love that it's... I go back to Oklahoma and even Dallas, and Dallas is as bad as Oklahoma, but still, it's just, it's so white.
It's so white.
I feel weird if I'm just around white people now.
Yeah.
It bothers me.
I feel like, am I a racist because I'm here? I feel like somebody's going to say, Emily Barron went to an all-white party, not in Palm Springs, and I think she might be racist. Okay, I dated a Korean guy once. You guys shut up. And a Cuban guy.
Oh, say no more Cubans.
But my husband is as white as he can be. So I sampled.
You sampled?
Yes.
You did.
I think we all should. You need to know what's
I
out
think
there.
We all should. Well, so, okay. So now we talked about it's time for celebrity shit the bed.
Oh.
Which you can talk about celebrities. This is really, we just talk about anything kind of pop culture. We could talk about
ourselves.
We could
I'm
talk
kidding.
About
I'm kidding.
We could talk about the casting director fiascos of classes that's going on right now. We can talk about that. We can, or if there's something like, has there been something that's been going on like this month where you're just like, either it's been great for you to hear about it or it's been like, argh.
Well, I feel like we have to at least nod at Donald Trump and how much folly we're going to get out of it all. I mean, we've already had quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm wildly entertained by how ignorant he is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sad and I'm entertained at the same time.
Yeah.
Because... Yes, sometimes I don't think he even realizes that he's spewing hate when he's doing it.
No.
Which.
I actually don't think Donald Trump is a hateful. Somebody said, you said Donald Trump's a racist. And I said, no, I actually said his racist remarks. I said, they're like, but that's the same thing. I said, no, actually, I don't know if
Donald. I don't think he knows.
I don't know, if Donald Trump is actual racist.
He's been so rich and so privileged for so long. He doesn't even know.
Yes. I think it's like, I have a friend who talks about this. She talks about a story. She's a big Prince fan. Rest in peace. And Kevin Smith does this set where he talks about where he saw Prince. And he talks about how Prince is like, he's just Prince. And he doesn't understand when you say, oh, yes, I would like, I'm going to misquote this Karen Cole who told me this. I'm sorry. But when Prince said, when Prince requests an Indian elephant to be at his house tomorrow at noon, he doesn't understand why a simple request can't be granted to him. You know, my friend, so I've heard that, I've had friends that know Barbara Streisand and have worked with her and said that she's very nice, but she's been ridiculously famous since she was 19. So she's just used to things. And I think that's Donald Trump. He's used to, oh, well, we can fix this country because I say we're going to fix it. And that's, what he does. He just says something and it happens with Trump shit.
Yeah. I think it's a rich kid thing.
Think he's going to win the presidency?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know. I honestly don't
I think
know.
It's going to be dangerously close.
I feel like it's going to be dangerously close as well.
Yeah.
People are just angry. Now what's happening is all the Democratic stuff with Sanders. And
everybody's all wound up. They're so
just like, I just want to be like, chill the fuck out.
I'm excited to maybe do some sort of a parody of Hillary and him fighting, like boxing. I want to do a burlesque parody of Hillary and him having a boxing match that ends in a strip show. And that's it.
I like that. I
will and go she's on this. Top.
I will go see that show.
Bernie has some great ideas. I think he's... I get a little... I get unnerved when there's extremes that don't see the other side. And I feel
that
like...
That bothers me
sometimes
too.
On the Republican side, there's extremes. And I feel like they'll never see the other side and understand that in all relationships, whether it's a romantic or a friendship or a commerce or you're running a business, small, large, the most important thing is compromise. And there's so when you've got these two extremes, it has to be this way or it has to be this way. Nobody's going to meet in the middle.
Nobody.
Everybody's just going to get mad and say, no, you can't do that. Like, because you want to do that, you can't do that.
Yeah, I personally agree with a lot of things Bernie Sanders says.
Great ideas.
But I feel like, man, like, but you're, it's almost like, but, and maybe some people say this sounds defeatist, but I'm like, but you're, this isn't our country that we're in. This isn't, it's like you're trying to play the game of life on a Clue board game. It's just a different game, dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And all the things that he wants, I'm like, that's great. Those are great ideas. They cannot be implemented as fast as you are saying that they could. And like, you're not, I just feel like you're not zooming out and seeing, you got to pick a couple.
Yeah.
Because you cannot do all the things.
Yeah. And I'm not saying Hillary Clinton's better, but I do like a lot of things she says, but it's just, I really honestly, if I could have, I just want Barack Obama for 8 more years.
I love a Democrat that smells like a Republican. That's what I like.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do think there's...
Or a Republican that smells like a Democrat. Like, I'm going to come a little bit closer to the center. I broke the studio.
I'm actually more that way, too. So, my mother is Republican, very Republican, but she talked about how she feels a little isolated in that she is a Republican who's very... very much a feminist, very much loves her gay son, very much is pro-choice. But she's like, I can't, what do I choose with my party? Do I choose my economy or my morality? Because they're not matching up at all within my party.
Yeah.
And that's been hard for her.
We need to make a new party. That's like...
We do. Let's just call it ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
The Chorus Line Party.
The Chorus Line Party.
I'm going to register as a Chorus Line voter.
Sheila Party. Sheila Party.
Sheila.
Sheila was the main woman. It's the one, the mom from Gilmore Girls played her on Broadway.
Oh, that's Sheila.
Sheila. What is that actress's name? I can't believe I'm blanking on her name. Gilmore Girls. You should be on Gilmore Girls. You would be so good on Gilmore Girls.
Well, if Melissa McCarthy drops out, Mimi.
Still though, I could see you in Stars Hollow.
Stars Hollow.
I know. Have you ever watched the show?
Oh, my stars. I watched the first, I think I watched the first season. I went back. I didn't, I think when it was, when it came out, I was, maybe did, I didn't have TV or I was in college and I was drunk. I don't remember.
I'm very excited about the Netflix. All right. So it's getting dark in my living room. So we got to move on so I can still see. Or you can turn the light if you need to. I don't care. So now this is Chatty Matty question. So this is same. I don't know if I sent these to you in the email because I like to keep them fresh.
Oh, you didn't.
Yeah. Okay, good. It's the same five questions for everybody for each show. So the first Chatty Matty question is, what is your most memorable or favorite childhood smell? And it's okay to have time because it's a podcast, so you don't have to.
Okay, and that's a rapid fire.
Yeah, you don't have to feel the air. You don't have to feel the air.
I would say my dad smokes a pipe, and so it's probably the tobacco. Every now and then he'll have some tobacco, not so great. Like, I don't like cigars, but he smoked a sweeter one. That, and he wore something called Bay Rum.
Is that cologne?
It's a cologne, I think, yeah. Oh. So either of those two things. I'm a daddy's girl, so
I was going to say you're daddy's girl.
Yeah.
What is the E stand on your necklace? It says E. E. It's really pretty. Oh, your name.
public school. Randy went to public school.
If Jake Anthony, he's saying, you're raised in a one-room classroom with a pig.
It stands for everything.
You guys, I wish y'all could have seen her face. When I said, what is his standpoint? She's just like... You're the stupidest. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
That's something I would do, though. But
I'm a dumbass.
I was raised in a bar myself. Are you kidding me?
All right. Chatty Matty number two. What would be the name of your memoir?
Oh. Shit.
It's okay. Take your time. We got time. We have time. We have,
maybe.
Give me
shit
time.
Shit show the musical.
Oh.
Either Shit Show the Musical or What Would Madonna Do?
Are you a Madonna fan?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. What do you think about Madonna now? She's going a little...
Getting a little... Whoop-whoop. Yeah, I don't know whoop-whoop. What her... There's... I don't know what
she
vitamins
on, like, some
she's
doobie
on.
Doobie or something?
I don't know what's going on. I mean, to have that kind of fame fucks with your head.
Exactly.
So we've got a little bit of the fame monster.
And I feel like Madonna has a big problem with aging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like she hasn't stayed true to, like, reinventing herself in the way that she used to. Because, like, those...
Do you remember when Ray of Light came out? Do you remember when Ray of Light came out?
The way she was able to reinvent herself from album to album, from Like a Virgin what was it, like a prayer?
Even
like
when she did that, like,
time,
tell me, like, love, even that album was good, you know?
Music, yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, it's either aging or maybe like her kids are making her nuts. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think there's a lot of ego over there.
I hope it's not substance. I feel like Madonna's one of the few, like, 80s older people who was super famous that's still alive. Because it's just dropping.
Yeah. Yeah. Her and Michael and Prince and David Bowie were all very, very...
Whitney?
Yes. In the early 80s, like when I was in junior high, you know, that was it. They were MTV. They made MTV.
They did.
And they made stories out of songs. You got to see the story that was behind the song. That was amazing, especially, like, you know, being a natural storyteller.
Oh, yeah.
We were drawn to that because it was like musical theater, such as on TV.
Yes. I remember. Paula, I recently.
Yes, I was just thinking Paula Abdul.
I love Paula. She was all. Paula Abdul was my girl. Paula Abdul and Kylie Minogue were all over my.
I should be so lucky. Lucky.
Nobody else sings that song. Oh my God. I used to live in the stereo.
It just came out.
And so I had the stereo connected to the speakers, but I would like to listen to music and go to bed. But if I played it to my speakers, it was too loud. So I plug in my headphones and set my headphones up and just let those play out. And that's what I'd go to sleep to. I know.
Kylie
Minogue. I know, faggot.
So yeah, what would Madonna do? Or Shit Show the
Music. I love it. All right. Number three. Chatty Man number three. Best piece of advice you wish you had taken earlier?
To call Adam Shankman.
Touche. Okay. That was good. Okay. Oh my God. All right. Woo. All right.
And that's true. It's so true.
I love it because most people are like, follow my dream. And you're like, oh, that's good.
I did that already. Yeah. I just didn't do it soon enough because I didn't call him.
Oh my God. All right. Chatting and adding number four. We got two more.
Okay.
Chatting number four. What day would be your Groundhog Day? So what day has happened in your life that you're like, ugh, I would live this day over and over and over? Oh. I know I'll make you think. I try.
Oh, shit.
I'll get background music while you're thinking.
Okay.
I am so lucky, 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 lucky. I am so lucky and loved.
There was one.
You know when somebody's trying to think of something and they look like they're hurting?
Yes. Because
they're trying to get it out of their body?
Well, I had. Okay. Yeah, it was a day that happened. Mm-hmm. I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and be on set and finish my coverage for Scorpion. I was on Scorpion a couple months ago, and I was done within like 2 hours. Cool. There was a they're a great set, really nice people, cast and crew. And then I had to run home, do a couple of voiceover auditions, then go to a callback for a Progressive commercial at 3, and then I was told in between those two appointments between filming in the morning and the callback in the afternoon, I was told that I was pinned for grandfathered for the following week. And then on my way back from the the Progressive spot callback, I found out that I had my first audition for the star of a network sitcom pilot.
Look at you.
Second Fattest Housewife in Westport. I was going in for the fucking star of the show, which is amazing. I mean, there was already an offer out, but the fact that I was being called in to and getting to read was insane.
Insane.
Yeah. And then like a couple hours after that, I was put on a veil for Progressive. So I started the day on set and then just had these hits all fucking day within a 12-hour period.
That's a great day.
That's a great day. That is a great goddamn day.
That is a great day.
My husband, when I rolled over because I found out the avail at like 10 o'clock at night, my husband was like, get the fuck out. He goes, you're fucking ridiculous. I'm like, I am ridiculous. I can't sleep because my audition for the pilot was like 9 pages long and it was the next morning at 10 a.m. I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to sleep. So that was my Groundhog. I don't know what the date was, but it was a lot of good stuff in one day.
I love that.
Yeah.
I hope you live that day many, many times. I forgot about, you know, John Stamos is my husband.
He is beautiful.
He is so, I don't know, that show got canceled.
He's a vampire. He's a vampire.
Because
there's no way he's not aging at all.
Oh, I haven't seen your episode, so it was your scene.
You won't see it. I'm a screaming green blur as he's running through the airport. It's the season finale. You just hear me saying, tell her you love her! And you just see him running. Like, it's a very small thing.
Oh, he's so hot.
But he's beautiful in person. Oh, my God.
Oh, cute ass.
Yeah.
All right.
He's skinny.
Yeah. Last Chatty Maddie question.
Yes.
When are you most inspired?
By music.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I feel like there are times when I'm listening to certain songs, like the recent Kelly Clarkson one about
The Dad.
The Dad.
Oh my God, that song. Have you seen her doing it and like not crying?
No. Oh. She's crying. I think I saw it on American Idol and she, whew,
yeah,
she
yeah, yeah, that again. One.
Because there's something about music like before auditions that can immediately release tears. And the For Good song from Wicked is the same way for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have my best friend and I have had. Is that you?
Oh. Yeah, my phone. My phone rings in my computer. I'm okay. Sorry. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about For Good.
But yeah. My best friend and I didn't talk for 2 years because we were both struggling with some health problems and couldn't be there for each other. It was just and we'd been really close for a really long time. But it ended up that break between the two of us made our relationship so much stronger when it came back and we were both in a wedding together. And I was like, fuck, I'm in this goddamn wedding with her. And then we had to come together and it's made us 1,000 times stronger than we were before.
Do you think you appreciate, because she was out of your life, now you appreciate what she brings more?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We both are able to show up for each other. And if we can't show up for each other, we're like, I feel bad because I don't have time for you right now. I don't have time to talk right now. I'm so sorry. Like, she's in therapy too. So we both like, when you have two people that speak a therapeutic language, it's so quick to say, I need to get this out. Okay, get it out.
That's why, like, two therapists dating are like lesbians.
Oh.
Or if they're a lesbian therapist, then fuck, they're going to get married
so
in 5 minutes.
So many feelings.
Because you start speaking the shorthand and you say, well, I get it. You can just, it's a difference of, I know that with my own relationships, one I'm in now, but also, I haven't dated people that express their feelings easily. So it's, and I come from a family where we probably emotionally vomit. We talk about too much, So I love that though. I love that.
You know the song? You know what I'm talking about?
Because I knew you. Yeah.
I have been changed for
good.
So I'm and just to clear the air.
Oh, I'm from Oklahoma. Oh. I love Kristen Chenoweth. Like,
is she from Oklahoma?
Yes, she's from Broken Arrow.
I was just listening to Taylor the Latte Boy on my way here.
Oh.
Do you know that song?
Yes, I do. Because I started my master's at Oklahoma City University in musical theater, and that's actually where Kristen Chenoweth went with. I studied with her voice teacher.
Wow.
For like 2 weeks. Her voice teacher.
I want to hear you sing.
Our voice teacher's phenomenal. It was just, I don't want to get a master's in performance and pay $60,000 for this. It freaked me out. I couldn't do it. It's probably going to be a bit. But next time, especially too, Jake and I do a cabaret, you're going to love that shit. It's free drinks from a shirtless bartender. And then it's two gay men singing.
What's the date?
We have to plan that show.
Adam Shankman needs to come too.
Oh my, you know what? I'm going to invite him. friend him and we'll double.
I'm going to invite him.
I'm going to invite him so hard. I don't know what that means.
He's going to send a car.
So
that's how we're gonna invite.
That's how we're gonna invite. So now tell everybody. Thank you again for doing. Like,
thank
I'm so
you for
happy
having me,
because I'm at this thing where I'm inviting more acquaintance, friends, acquaintance. Like, we've never hung out.
No,
before.
We haven't. I know
we are now, and I love this. So tell everybody, if you want them to, where they can find all things you.
Right now, I have an episode of a kids show, just a little role in a kids show on Nickelodeon that rhymes with Memory Stranger. I can't talk about the show, so it doesn't air
until
August.
Oh, I know the guy. I can't say it.
I don't have to wait till
that. But somebody's on that show.
So that's coming up.
Their wife does stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And their wife is pregnant.
Yes.
And I know their wife.
Okay.
I've never met him. He is
darling.
Cute.
He's darling, and he's brilliant.
Did you see pictures of their wedding?
Mm-mm.
They did a total predator wedding. They got married by the fucking predator.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Oh, my stars.
I know.
I love how creative people are.
I know. She's hilarious, too.
I've heard. Yeah, she and I have mutual friends.
Yeah, I love Liz. I can say Liz Stewart. I love Liz Stewart. I've actually emailed her to be on the show, but she never emailed me back. Whatever. She's busy.
She's having a baby and being funny.
I emailed her like 2 years ago.
I don't have any kids. I just have dogs. That's why I'm here.
That's why we're here. That's why we're here. I know. My dog's going crap. I got to walk her.
And I've got 3 commercials running. A progressive spot. You see half of my face. The Flotection spot.
Oh, good.
Where she's making sure things don't hit the car.
I saw you on that.
Like half my face on that. And my Velveeta, it's gluten spot is still running.
Velveeta,
shells and cheese.
I love Velveeta.
And a Comcast spot where I drop a cake is still running as well.
Oh, I've seen that spot too. You're a baker. That's a great spot as well.
Thanks.
You got disgusting, right? Because that cake got all over you,
that
right?
That was the very last shot. They only had 4 fucking cakes. Terrifying.
They only
the most terrifying job I've ever had.
Because if you're watching, she like the whole cake, like you fall or like it falls on you.
The cake falls on me. Yeah. Yes. And so I had, wardrobe was telling me not to touch it. Don't get next to the cake because they don't have a second thing for me to wear. And then the guy, the pyrotechnics are like, oh, don't get close to the table because the table's going to fall and you could get hurt. And then the director's like, try to grab the cake. Like, you fucking people. Nobody's on the same page.
How many takes did you do?
We only were able to do 4 full takes because they only had 4 cakes.
Oh, wow.
And they were all melting. So, like, as we were carrying it, we could see it tilting. I was like, this fucking cake better make it to that table. Because the bottom 2 cakes were fake, and then the top three were real, and they hadn't been refrigerated long enough, so they were like, ooh, you could feel it wobbling in your cake.
Because you know that some PAs were up that day before making fucking cake.
I don't know who was doing what, but it was very... the director wasn't real nice either, so it was a strange job.
That's awesome.
It ended up working out.
I bet sitting with you at a bar is a fun story. I bet you just pull them out. Oh, that's funny. I'm coming up to see your husband. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
So much silly. We crammed a lot of silly in.
We did cram a lot of silly. That's the point of this show. A little silly and a lot of heart.
Get that silly in there!
That's what I yelled it at you when you came in. So for the rest of you, go to DearMaddieShow.com. You can ask questions. I always need your questions because that's the whole point of the show. And please, you can find everything social media at the Matt Mart. Big favor. Go to you. Go to the iTunes website. Leave a review. It helps bump up the show. More people see it.
Bump it up.
Also, too, it should be up and running by this time. You can go to the YouTube channel, Talk to Matt Mara, and you can see Dear Maddie advice questions on the YouTube. So, yeah, all that good stuff. Whatever. I'm done promoting
Wunderbar.
Okay. Boy, we're going to musical theater gay this out. So nice. I know. We didn't even talk about Hamilton. Actually,
I haven't heard anything about it.
What about
it's not gay enough.
It's not gay.
Because I'm a gay man trapped in a straight woman's body. We don't know.
Have you listened to Waitress yet?
No.
Should I? I heard the book is weak. But the do you like Sarah Bareilles?
I know I should. I know that.
The music is so good. So good. Anyway, sorry, get it to y'all. So for the rest of you, do something for someone this week. And I'll see you back next week. I love you guys. I love you, Emily. Thank you for being here.
I actually mean that. Thank you. Thank you for listening, everybody, to all of our madness. Yeah. Maddie's madness. What?
I'm going to piss myself.
Goodbye. All right. God bless.
Goodbye.